Y'all
is
see what's going
just
on? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
yeah, well, no, well, God had from the beginning, he said he had it. I don't know if he used the word marriage, but the couple was supposed to be together forever, not just go from one couple to another or one person to another, because I think that it would just help things to be much more solid.
Well, I mean, let's look at the question. Let's really look at it. Everybody's not married.
That's true.
You got a lot of people who never get married.
That's true too.
Then you got people who have been together for years and they've never officially gotten married.
Yeah, I know one person myself.
Yeah, so is marriage necessary in today's society?
I think that.
I'm just being an advocate here. I'm just raising the
Yeah, but I'm saying I think it's a necessity, but it's also, see, I'm falling back to the old things that I used to hear when people say things like, if you stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And it's like, but I was always raised to believe that marriage should happen, and it should be there, not just because of for you to say I'm Mrs. Joe or whatever, but because God had a plan for us to be together. I don't think he planned for us to be together and separate like that, get a divorce or whatever.
Well, see, now you're getting where we need to get to, because I was listening to what you were saying, and if remember, this is Bible study. If somebody raises this question to you, and or you're somewhere and this conversation is going on, how can you make your stand scripturally? That's the key. That's the key to what we want to look at. How can I make my stand scripturally for marriage?
Yeah. Oh,
That's what we need to understand. Okay.
okay.
See what we're in our chat.
What is that?
Okay. And ironically, we're going to hit the same thing, at least one of those that you put up there. It says, from 1 Corinthians 7, we're going to be looking at that also for a minute. Let's look at this, the question. One, is marriage necessary? And two, today's society. Does society dictate whether marriage is necessary or not? Listen, you hit on these things, but on as far as what God intent and all that, you're hitting on it. Okay. But you have to be able to have some kind of scriptural
No,
position with this.
and the only I can get a scripture, but the only thing I could think of to start with would be in Genesis.
That says what?
That's what I'm saying. I can't give you a scripture right now, but I just know that part of God's plan, I think it was in Genesis. Yeah, because I'm the worst when it comes to those giving out scripture. I'm terrible.
If y'all have your Bibles available to you can turn to Genesis, the second chapter, and I just want you to look at the 18th verse. And when you get there, stay in that second chapter. We're not done with it.
In the
If
18 verse.
anybody comes up with that, if you want to read it, it'll be fine. If not, I'll read it.
It in NIV, and it says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the human to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him."
Okay. And I want to read the King James, believe it or not. I prefer how it's put in the King James, believe it or not, as opposed to the NIV, where it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him." I prefer the interpretation of help mate or help me as opposed to helper. The King James, in some places, some says they made a helper for him. But that's not I like the way the King James puts it, a helpmate. I like that. Now, think about this. Man was alone, so God wants man to have a suit. Because it said earlier, and you read this at your leisure in the second chapter. I mean, man matched up all the animals and did all of that, but he looked around and was no one suitable for him. There was no one suitable for him. That's what the scripture said. And just pause it right there for a moment. That tells us something. Also, when these people are like to get into bestiality and all of that stuff, you know, he tells you right there, there was no one suitable for him. But all the animals that were there, there was none suitable for man.
What verse is that?
That's how, this is all in the second chapter. I've only started at the 18th verse, but you take your time until you read it all. Now that's what it says right there. Then we jump down to the 20th verse, you know, where it says again, Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmate for him.
I got it.
There
I
was
know.
no mate for him. There was no match for him.
Yeah.
Every other animal had their matches, but none for Adam. All the animals had theirs. Okay. So it says in the 21st, you know, follow me here. And the Lord
Yeah, I
God
got
caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. What do y'all think about this part? There's a couple of interesting points
Well, that's why I saw a woman. Set what the, you know, you always hear things, whoa, man, because she was brought out of him. So that was like part of him was given back to him.
Well, you're making a good point. Now the church, and I'm just gonna make this not just symbolic, but you can see where this comes from. When we look in the scripture, and the church is referred to as the bride, right? Y'all know this. And he was to present himself, you know, he was to present the church to him, as his, you know, and all of that. Well, in some texts, you'll find this written where he says, and brought her unto the man. You'll actually find it written or interpreted, and presented her unto the man. Now, this
What's
wasn't
that?
for Adam's approval. He didn't have to approve of the woman. He didn't do that. But after God made her, he presented her to him. This is your helpmate. This is your mate. Okay? And when he presented her to Adam, look at what Adam said. Adam said, "This is now a bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Guess what we just read there? You just got a glimpse of the first wedding vow. You're getting a glimpse of it. You know, he's not done yet because he said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, it's a whole lot right there. It's a whole lot right there. Okay? And some of it we use symbolically today, and we use, you know, allegory. We use a different thing, like, oh yeah, he took from the rib of man because he's going to always be by his side. And I'm sure y'all heard all of this before. In the
You know,
past.
what
Huh?
I was saying about taking a woman from the man, you know what song came to my mind? 100 pounds of clay.
Oh yeah, I remember, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is, you know, we see all of this stuff here, but we do see is things that are very, very important, okay? Cleave unto his wife, leave father and mother. Why say that? Anybody got any reason, any supposed to listen? Leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife.
Well, now you
Anybody
got to
want to
be there.
bring anything comes to mind?
Well, I'm just, you got to be there for each other. Not, and you're no longer under the rule of your parents.
Well, that's part of it. But what also goes with that, knowing some of the history, is that there was no reason for a young lady or a man to leave from their father's house unless you were going to get married. You had somewhere to go. What am I leaving for? Today we say, well, you get a certain age, you don't want to stay, in your father's house, but it wasn't like that years ago. You might not have been in the, literally in that house, but you were on the land. You had your own little place, but there was no reason to go. You're not married. You're there to help do whatever need, if y'all got cattle or whatever to help with the land, you were doing that and everything is lovely. But then you become marrying age, or if it was time for you to get married, and a lot of times married, your mates were chosen for you. That was the case. But when it's time to do that, and there's a whole lot more to this, I'm only not even scratching the surface of the things that were done in preparation for getting married. But when that time came, then it was time for you to leave your father's house. Same thing for the female. Females stayed under the protection of their father's household until they would have a mate of their own, a husband of their own, and of course, who would protect them? Because we understand how the rights of women were almost nil. They needed that to be under the protection of their, of their mate. So when he said a man shall leave his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This passage right here, this verse right here. Like I said, I'm only scratching the surface of it, but it's very deep. It's very deep. But you have to know a little bit of the history, and we'd have to go a little bit deeper for it all to make sense. This part, leave father and mother, cleave unto your wife. Okay? Y'all too. It becomes y'all now. Okay? Not just people say you grow old together, you start finishing each other's sentences. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. The two become one flesh. You begin to think about this thing, because it's not about your mind, your spirit. It's not just, no, it's not about that. This has a part in it, but not because of just this. That's why I say marriage is very unique. I'm actually writing an article on that about the uniqueness of marriage. There are some things that happens in the only way to explain it is because we're married. That's my wife. That's my husband. When we read about the parable about the men who the Lord wanted to come follow him, and one had to take care of cattle, one had to go bury their father, and one would say, well, I just took on a wife. The Lord didn't say anything about this guy. There's something about being married, of the uniqueness of marriage. Becoming one flesh, how y'all stand together. Y'all supposed to be together. And how you stand together, not just symbolically, not just, in show, but how you become one, how you begin, yes, you begin to be in agreement with each other. This merging, this, yes, this is what happened. This is what happened in marriage, and be united like that. This is what your mate was supposed to happen with your mate. Now, as we move even into the New Testament, this kind of union is not a boyfriend girlfriend thing. It's not a but today in our society we say shacking up thing. The only thing when we see that they were betrothed, like even like Mary and Joseph were, that betrothal was so deep. When that's why you read in passages in scripture where it says he wanted to put her aside. He wanted to divorce her. He said, well, wait a minute, they didn't even have a marriage yet. But being betrothed was just that important. There were certain things, but then again, you have to understand what comes about. It's not just like we do here. In our society, you put a ring on somebody, you announce you're engaged. It was more to it than that. To be betrothed, it meant a whole lot more. And more time than we may want to, get into it now. But I would answer any questions that you had, if I can. But, okay. And so as we move even into the New Testament, see what goes on with your wife, with your mate. Even when it comes down to sex, this was not allowed. It's only the only union we see sanctioned by the word of God is husband and wife. Now y'all can, let me know when y'all find something different. Okay. I mean, betrothal is not separate for husband and wife because that's in the process of becoming husband and wife, but that's what you see. And to be able to do the things that husband and wife do is only sanctioned, again, through marriage. He even tells them, if y'all cannot control yourself, you can burn it with passion, you need to get married. Okay. He tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and Lala pointed this passage out also. You need to read it all, but I'm just going to go right to the 10th verse. All of it is good stuff, good instruction. It says, to the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. This is what, Paul is telling us. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. Now that's what he's talking about here, And we try to do a lot of things to justify and rationalize and legitimize what we want to do. But the word is plain to what it said. And but like I said, there's a whole lot of things between point A and point B. Like there's A and there's subset one. Subset two. There's things that goes on in it in other passages of scripture that supports this and goes along with this and with this command and with these instructions. Okay, the Lord has a plan. He has a perfect plan. We abide by that. It will work. Okay. He even tells us, even in Hebrews, that marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Hebrews 13:4. All of this stuff is important. All this is important, and it's only sanctioned through marriage. Only through marriage. When we ask the question, is marriage necessary in today's society? One, I don't think it doesn't matter. Today's society doesn't change what the word of God teaches. You hear a lot of people say, well, today is a new day. No. No. All we know that the word doesn't change. It doesn't change. If the Lord says this is what should be done, that's what should be done. I don't see where the word of God has to be revised, rewritten to accommodate the different things that's going on through generations and through different cultures and through the year. No, we don't see that because God doesn't change like that. It's still relevant. Is marriage necessary? If you want to help me, if you want a companion by your side and you want to treat them according as, it shows in the word, and y'all want to share your life together, it needs to be done through marriage. there's a lot of things that we have done and that we accept it and receive it like that's the way it should be. But it's really, some of it's really not said properly. For example, we say, I'm going to get married. We getting married. What really should be said, we're entering into marriage together. You're entering into a marriage. God has established marriage, the ordinance of marriage is already established by God. So we enter into it. And if we enter into marriage as the way the whole Bible teaches it, these are the rules that he has laid out. They're already laid out. For those people who say, well, we want to rewrite or come up with our own vows, and we want to add this, we don't want to say this. No, the Lord has, he has a plan. He has rules. He has procedures. And we need to follow what the Lord teaches. We don't have to add and subtract. We need to teach what these vows mean. Through the years, I've, talked with people, in the last maybe 20 years or so, I haven't done nearly as many wedding ceremonies as I've done the years prior. And I remember certain things that some people have said to me, that I remember women saying that, oh, I'm not going to say that I'm going to submit to him. And, well, I don't like where I'm expected to do this as a wife, but all the Bible says is he has to love me. Well, they need to be taught. And once I was able to talk with them and explain to them, no, you got part of it right, but you need to understand what it really means and what else goes with that, because it's not just you submitting to him, is he also submits to you. But and then you also need to understand what submit means. You're not slaves to each other. You gotta understand what the word submit means, and when you explain this, and when you also explain it, as some of you may remember, as we even taught in Bible study, when you talk about love, your wife, as yourself and all of this, understand what that love means. And as we've talked even in 1 Corinthians, in that again in that 13th chapter, with the love chapter, a lot of people call it. And remember that there are 16 attributes of love just in that chapter. And we are expected to express them all to one another. Y'all know that. Love is patient, love is kind, love is this. Y'all read it. Even the world does, deals with it. Love doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. And we can go on and on and on. Like I said, there's 16 of them. Like just, and that's just in one place. And we're expected. We expect it to show all of them to our mates. So yeah, marriage is unique. Marriage is unique. And there's a whole lot to it. And like I said, we're just scratching the surface of it. But just dealing with the question that was presented and that we heard. Is marriage necessary in today's society? If we want to have mates, and if we want to have the type of mate, the husband, the wife, as God dictates, then yeah, you need to be married. Now, if you want to go through life and you feel as though you're able to do that as a single person and govern yourself as a single person, should govern themselves according to the dictates of the Holy Bible. And there are some who do that. Some of them, people, we call them eunuchs, that do that. And there's others that remain single and blessed to be able to do that. Well, even Paul mentions that those who, need to remain, we'll use the word celibate, for lack of a better word right now. These are special people. And they can do that. Now, that's the kind of life that you feel as though you want to lead and you're able to lead or being directed to lead, then that's fine. But for those who, yeah, well, can't handle being alone. I need to have me a companion. Then you need to follow the directions that the word says. And the key thing is you need to do this through the union of marriage. Any comments and questions at this point?
No, I'm good. I'm in agreement with you.
Well, it's not what I'm saying, it's what the word teaches.
Well, I agree with what you said and read. Gave us to look up, and because I wasn't able to really look up anything. You gave it this morning, right?
Oh, put yeah, the wee hours of this morning.
Huh?
The wee hours. Yeah, I mean, I
yeah, I know.
pretty early.
I was just as I was probably getting ready to fall asleep.
Okay, but a lot of this, I mean, we've heard this through the years. This is not new to us.
Yeah.
It's not new. We've heard this taught to us, preached to us. We've read it ourselves through the years. And how deep we get into it may be another issue, but we have read it. Yeah. But what do y'all think? I need to hear what y'all are saying about marriage. I mean, surely y'all realize that yes, the world does have influence over a lot of the things that we do, but the question is still out there. You know, is marriage necessary in today's society?
I think it is. And a lot of it had to do with some of the stuff you just said. But it also says that when it was established by God in creation, meant to provide a foundation for human life, companionship, procreation, and a reflection of the relationship between Christ and the church. And you mentioned that. Since therefore it is viewed as an essential part of God's plan for humanity, even in modern times.
Okay.
Like I said, I've always believed in marriage. But and then it's like people try to say influence you in other directions. Well, this is 2025 now, and that still doesn't change the way God planned things to be.
Well, that's where we're at, you know. Today's society doesn't change anything, and it's nothing new. The way people are governing themselves now, those of us know that this, you know, when the word tells us they're going to be doing just like in the days of Noah, and then it describes what they were doing during those days, and the way they were living, and how they were governing themselves. That's what we see in the day. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. You know, people want to live so lasciviously, and they want to do, you know, all of the wild living and, you know, the wine, women, and song type attitude and all of that. So it's nothing new. We read it even way back. We remember what happened with Lot and his wife and his children, his daughter. Those men trying to break into his house. Because they saw him having two men come in there. They wanted the men. He offered his daughters. We don't want them. We want men. This is men talking about we want men. We don't want women. You know, so this is nothing new. What we see going on today is ridiculous. It's crazy. You know, I want to just have a contract. We're going to be married for 3 years. And, you know, it's like we're on trial man, for 1 year. And come on, this what kind of foolishness is this?
But my question for that would be, okay, so you have a 3-year contract, but suppose after the 3 years up, you want more. What do you do? Make a new contract?
Well, that's it depends on your stipulations in the contract. This is part of the conversation there. You can, you know, you can end it when that 3 years up, or you can extend it, and you know, it's how you have it written. And they're like, wow, what about if there's children becoming involved? And they said, well, that depends on, again, how you have it written. If we have children, are we going to just go ahead on and divide the time with the children? And nobody's thinking how the kids may think, feel, and all that. Just like I said, y'all see this foolishness and craziness that we are seeing today. I'm not going to raise my child telling them that they're boy and girl and they're male and female. They'll make that determination when they get a certain age. What kind of stuff is that? You know, we giving them, you know, so this is the kind of stuff that we're seeing and we're experiencing that we probably some of us who got a few years behind us never thought we'd see this kind of foolishness 40, 50 years ago. We didn't even think we'd see this kind of stuff. But even though it was going on, but it was not so wide open as and accepted in society like it is today. This is what we're living with, y'all. And that's why, you know, yes, Evangelist Doug, you're muted if you wanted to say something. This is what we're experiencing, y'all. This is what we're seeing. You know?
It's still muted.
You're still muted there. I don't know what you're using, your phone or your. You got to go down to where that mic looks like a microphone is and that arrow that's there and click on that and you can unmute yourself. Or you can just hit escape if you're using the keyboard. Or the space bar, that should unmute you.
Now I'm
Here
on
you
mute. You
go.
hear
Here
me
you
now?
go. Yes.
Okay. Hello everyone. Good evening. In looking at, I'm gonna give you a scripture, but I'm just gonna give my little opinion here. In
Sure.
looking at some of the young people, and even looking at some of my grandchildren, believe it or not, some of the young people still want to be married. What it is that people are just telling them to stay married, to my opinion, and not telling them the promises in which the Lord has going to give them for being married and getting married and staying married. Because it's just like everyone want, you if you don't know about the gift or you don't know about the prize, you don't go after it. But if you've seen it, you want it, they'll go after it. People say, a lot of people say they don't want to be married, but really because no one has ever asked them. And they say, I don't want to be married. No one has asked them because maybe they have not prepared themselves to be a husband or prepared themselves to be a wife. It takes preparation. People don't understand it. It takes preparation. You have to learn how to, as they say, all of those things that you have to learn to not to be jealous, not to be envious, not to be all of those things that they say in the love chapter. But then it also tells you in Proverbs that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And then it tells you the promises of God to have this help meet. And they think that being single is so gorgeous. Really, being single, the Lord is asking more of you. So they're going to be in trouble for not doing as much as they should do because they are single. Because as being a single and being in the Lord, you have your total time, your total energy should be focused on the Lord. And everything that you do should be surrounded by the Lord. Whereas when you're married, you have your husband, you have your family, you have your house, you have your church, and all of that to tend with. But they need to tell them about the promises that you're going to get. It's like being firstborn male. You have a promise. Step into your promise. Step into your gift. Receive what the Lord has for you. And it is because that's and I believe marriage is important. Because why would even these people who call themselves LGBT and all this whatever want to have a family? It's important. They're just trying to change it, but maneuver it and bring it into why they want it. But at the same time, they still want to quote unquote say marriage because they know that the family life is still very important. It's very much accepted
and it's looked upon. And like we're living in a day and time, Pastor, you know what wrong is right and right is wrong. But deep down, I believe they still want it. Because why would that man and those two men want to adopt a child? Those two women want to adopt a child. They and they, my partner, my wife, and I, they want it. They really do. It's just that they want it their way because the evil one has put it in their head. But I believe it's still very much acceptable. It's just that people are trying to tear it down to make it suit their benefit.
And again, it's not just because it's on a in a whim. Rush to go ahead and get married. That union that you want to have with your spouse, the way you want to treat them, the way you want them to treat you, that type of love and that expression, those expressions of love and affection, is only sanctioned through the union of marriage. Now, if you want to be in agreement with God, that's what it is. Even Paul recognized, listen, if you can't keep your hands off each other, y'all burning up with passion, you need to go ahead and get married.
Absolutely.
You know? Now what you don't see right there, and then you didn't say, well, if you truly love each other and you're really ready to commit each other and you're really ready, y'all your Bible study and all of that stuff, he said, listen. There are certain things that I want you to get this. Don't miss this. For you to be at that point with a man, with a woman, your intended, there's certain things that should have been covered through that. You know, I don't want to just jump right to that. As I said earlier, we in our culture, in our society, we say, okay, you meet somebody, y'all decide to get engaged, and y'all go on. But when you look in the scriptures, and you see that this couple has become betrothed. There is a procedure in this betrothal that is not just that simple. And that's the part that we did not get into and that we need to get in there. That's going to take a lot more time than we would try to do that today. But
Oh,
there is a
Pastor.
process. There's a process. Not we in our society, we have adapted and we have allowed certain other parts from other cultures, we've adopted and adapted some of those things of what we do, but not all of them. And we think we have a nice foolproof thing. Okay, we want to get engaged, we get an engagement ring. Then we announce our engagement and all that stuff. But there is a process in the way that when we look into the scriptures, particularly so in the Old Testament, there's a process in this betrothal, in this, what it intends. And like I said, we only spoke about it briefly, but we know the seriousness of it and the depth of it any time that a person says, yeah, we're betrothed, but I'm going to divorce her. He said, well, you're betrothed? Today we would say in our culture, we said, we all engaged, you're going to get divorced, y'all never got married. But that's how serious being engaged. I'll tell you something I haven't heard since I was young. When people would sue for breach of promise, when the last time you've heard that?
Wow, you're right.
You know, we set an engagement date. I promised to marry you. Then for some reason, I fell out of it. People were getting sued for that. That's how serious engagement was at one point, even in our society. You don't hear that anymore. Because we made promises. You know, we as far as dowry and all of that stuff goes, we mentioned that, but we don't put all, like I said, we don't do all of these different things that other cultures do in their process. We take pieces of them and we come up with what we think we've come up with a perfect process. But we need to look into the scriptures and see the way it's supposed to be. You know, there's a reason why women, when they become a certain age, and the way they dress, why they dress that way when they're at marrying age. It's a reason why the Lord gave us, he shared with us the three-part parable with the woman who lost her coin to understand the importance of what that coin meant for her, because she's preparing to get to be married. She needed that. You know, we need to be able to look into all of these things. You know? So yes, is marriage necessary in today's society? If we, for believers especially, if you want to live godly and have yourself a mate, I'm getting to the very bottom of it. Oh yes. Oh yes. Things have not changed. Society can come and go, it doesn't matter. But the word of God doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's still not good for men to be alone.
That's word.
It's still not good. You still want to have you a helpmate. Some pastors, yeah, they use helper. You know, but so you still need to have a helpmate. And if she's going to be a helpmate to you, and she's going to perform certain duties, you're going to cleave to her, you're going to leave mother and father, you're going to do all of that. You don't do that for a girlfriend. You don't do that for a boyfriend. No, you don't do that. And for you to govern yourselves with this person, to be able to express your feelings of love towards this mate, is sanctioned only through marriage in the scripture. This dating thing and all that, that's not a biblical concept. That's a concept that we adopted, you know, in our society, in our culture. But when when a man was looking for a woman to be with, he's looking for a wife. That's God's ideal. That's His plan. We too often we go along and rationalize, and even like I said, and try to legitimize. Well, that's the ideal, but in reality, what does that mean when we say in reality? Who's reality? We still allow society to dictate how we ought to govern ourselves as children of God. Anyway, you know, that's where we're at this point. On any more questions or comments?
I was getting a little bit out of it and listening to you.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
I was getting more information from you.
Oh, okay.
So you think that, well, it probably could be that the not only, you know, set the example, but that the Lord would lead that married couple to talk to the younger people nowadays. I believe, you know, you'd have to talk to them and remind them. You have to talk to them, remind them.
And to remind them how God has His plan, as He part of His order for man.
Yeah, because
that needs to be emphasized.
Yes, definitely.
Marriage is not just something we decide to do on a whim. We need to understand what comes with it. And this is part of what we've talked about this evening, what marriage entails. You know?
So much more than people don't even imagine.
it's so much. We have not even scratched the surface.
You know, I used to listen to you guys. Sometimes you have to make it not a game, but I can outserve you.
Okay.
If you have a husband or wife, I can outserve you. If you're going sort of like I can outserve you, you'll always be happy with each other.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from.
It's a little bit of a like, you know, because you have to, you know, like guess what? I know I'm a servant, and if I'm a servant, I'm gonna serve the Lord, and I want to serve, and you want to serve your husband because he's the Lord of your home. And if he's a truly man of the Lord, he wants to serve you like he served the Lord, thus saved the world.
Sure. I mean, this all comes under the umbrella of submitting, of your body not belonging to your own. All of this stuff, the only relationship that the Lord is good with this is, again, through marriage.
Because I don't believe, I just believe so many people don't know about the gifts and the promises. The same way when people are always talking about you going to hell, you going to hell, you going to hell. This is hell here. Talk about how wonderful heaven is. And you're going to go and you want to give up this stuff down here. And you'll know that this earthly place is not your home. They have to start talking about more of the things that are of value, as they would say, keep hope alive. If they in the secular, but keeping the word alive and making it alive and making it more visible, making it more, because it is obtainable, that it can be obtainable and lived upon to get there. The way things are going, the airplanes falling and all these things happen, we have to tell them it's more to just robbing, it's more to just running around having sex, it's more to just trying to have everything where tomorrow that style is out of that object is out of style. You know, I try to emphasize and push this into my grands
Okay.
so much. So much, and sometimes they like when the Eagles won, they knew that I was going to be calling to see where they were. It was epic. They wanted to be out there. They wanted to be there, but they know I was going to call and check on them. So you know what? Nobody answered their phone. They said, "We know who it is. We know who she's going to say." But it's the idea. They know what I'm about. See? So in the back of their head, they know what I'm about. They know what you're about. Pastor, they know what you're about.
Yes.
So some things they're not even going to come to you with. Because once they know what you're about, and that's not saying that they're going to shy away from us, but it's showing the input, it's showing the respect, it's showing the Jesus in you. And it makes them think sometime about what they're going to do. So as what I'm trying to say in a nutshell is we don't stop. We don't stop. We keep going. We keep telling. We keep sharing. We keep telling. We keep sharing. We keep telling. We keep sharing. And pointing out the good things about it. Some people tell me I can find something good out of everything. You know, and I want to. But see, tell us to think on those things, right?
Yes.
A good report, good things that are kind, things that are, and to know that there's it's not going to rain every day. It's not going to snow every day, but you know it's going to be every day if you go there. So I want to tell them that it's more to life. It's more to life after life if you do what you have to do, and that's why I'll be trying to tell them. I say, "My grand, be proud of where you lay your seed at. Be proud of that person that you put on your shoulders because that's a part of you now. Think about if you're going in the same direction." It's hard when you make those mistakes. It's very hard. And you don't want to make them if you don't have to. So it's up to us to be these senior saints.
Yeah, well, yeah, we do have responsibility to the younger ones, and as Lala pointed out for us, even in Ephesians 5th chapter, when he's talking about how wives submit yourselves and to your own husbands, and husbands love your wives. This part that I was sharing with you earlier, where I had one woman had a problem with that, when she said, "Yeah, you said submit, to your husband, but then turn around and tell your husband to just love your wives." And then when we explain what those two things meant, then you could almost see it look like the light bulb lit up in her eyes. She understood that. And a lot of people, I don't know if they really understand what he means, submit yourself unto your own husband. Why would he tell us unto your own husband? All of this is important.
He's basically.
Because it's important because there was a time where a woman without a husband, a man would come up to her and demand certain things from her, and she had to listen to him and all that. But this is part of what I said, why we need to understand even the betrothal period. If that woman was dressed in a certain way and certain things she was wearing, that man wouldn't approach her that way, because he realizes this is a woman who's about to be married. She's in the process of being married. She's betrothed to someone. Today, that's what the ring is supposed to be in our society. That's what the ring's supposed to be. People look and say, oh, I don't see no ring on her finger. You know, I don't see no ring on his finger. So, you know, fair game. Like I said, there's a whole lot of little things that we have to look at before we get from point A to point B or from A to G or wherever it is we're going.
They just want to say who finds a wife finds a good thing. And that's all they want you to do the good thing for them. But they got to go.
Yeah.
They got to go all the way through it. Go all the way. Continue on. Find out the rest.
Yes.
Make it visible that this is your wife, not your girlfriend, not your lady. And please don't say dog. I can't stand it.
And you know, and I'm gonna say this here, and then I'll be done. I'm not, again, like I gotta tell you, I'm not trying to hold y'all hostage. I like the way Proverbs is written again in the NIV. Listen to this. Because you quoted part of it, but I like to go a little bit further with it. He who finds a wife, now watch what it says. He who finds a wife finds what is good and finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord.
Absolutely.
Like you said, some of the promises and assurances that we have in the word, they don't get that. Somebody has not taught it to them, they're not reading it for themselves. You know, to do things God's way comes with benefits, comes with blessings, comes with promises and assurances, not just for our faithfulness, because God is faithful to his word. You do this, he said, I will do that. You do that, I will do this. There are some promises that are conditional, but there are also some promises that we can receive, that we can claim simply because we are his child.
I like that. Well, I like that, Pastor, because, you know, because your parents did right and they tried to teach you. They were praying. We're still living off of some of their prayers. When they said, Lord, keep my child and do this, and they looking at, we're still hanging on some of the prayers from the ancestors. And I believe if we step up and we start doing the same thing, when they look back, they'll be standing on some of the prayers from us. With the promises from God. Thank God for Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Having said that, are there any more questions, comments? As we want to say this here, and I'll say this in closing, as Lala putting this out to us. You know, she said, if you have a problem with submitting to your husband, you shouldn't be married to him. You should be able to trust your partner wholeheartedly. That works both ways. If we are, the bottom line, let's get to the very bottom line. If we are not prepared to enter into marriage according to the Lord's rules and regulations, don't do it. Because the Lord did not request that we promise him to do this. But if you do make a promise to him, he expects you to keep. We need to understand, when we stand before that woman, we stand before that man, and you say these vows, you need to understand what you're doing. You stand, yes, you'll be standing before maybe a host or some other people. You're standing before your husband, your wife. You're standing before God, and you are making a vow. You are making a vow. He tells us in his word, lie not one to another. So if I'm making a vow to you, we're believing. I'm supposed to keep my word. Oh, we can go, like I said, from the beginning, we can spend weeks, months, just talking about marriage. And again, I have no problem with us continuing on in the conversation if we need to. We can go and get as deep, we can get as deep as we want to. With some of the things, y'all realize with some of the things we talked about this evening, how much more deeper we can get into each and every one of them. We just hit the surface. There are things that happens through marriage. The only explanation you can give is that we're married. How did you know your wife my mate, we're becoming one. You can walk in the door and look at your husband, look at your wife, and say, no, something's not right. You ain't said a word to him yet, but just the look and just what God, something's not right. How does this happen? Just being married, you know this. That's the only explanation you can have. Listen, I know. It's not because, being saved, yes, I have some spiritual discernment. But for your mate, there are things you cannot explain except for the simple fact that we're married. We're becoming one. And that's the only explanation you're going to have. But that's enough. That's enough. I'm going to stop here tonight, y'all, because I can go on this. I love talking about marriage, and like I said, I've only scratched the surface, but I've spent, personally a lot of time looking into marriage, and it's the best word I have right now. It's unique. It is like no other. It's like no other relationship that we've talked about. We've talked about being friends, partners with people, business partners, and buddies, pals. But it's nothing like being married. It's nothing like being married. Having said that, if there are no more comments or questions, somebody want to close us out in prayer? Anyone?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father God. Thanking you for your wisdom, your knowledge, your insight. Thanking you, Father God, for Pastor Cotton, Father God, for all who were on this call tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we will take your word and we will hide them in our heart, that we may not sin against thee. I ask that you would just continue to watch each and every one. Bless them as only you can. Keep them as only you can. Guide them and teach, Father God, for we want to be able to stand before you and do your will. So we thank you today, Lord God. As we go tonight, Lord God, cover us under your precious blood. Keep each and everyone from hurt, harm, and danger. Bless their families and all that they are concerned about, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God. And I just enjoy coming on. I've been out for a minute, and I enjoy that he has still going forth in the name of Jesus. God, continue to bless them, Lord God, that we'll be able to come on with it. We know we can come and we can talk freely. We can learn. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you and I praise your holy name. As we go forth, we have to remember that you're always there, that you never, ever left us. And we want to do what you would have us to do until we meet again. God bless you and keep you. And may heaven smile upon you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for the time together. Evangelist, bless your heart. I miss you. I miss you. But always a pleasure to see you. Always.
Hope you all, everyone, have a blessed night. Goodbye.
All right, y'all.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself, baby.
All right.
All right. Bless you. Uh-huh. All right. Take care.
Did you give that information to Tyrone?
I would love to, but his phone's not on yet. He said it won't be on until maybe Wednesday or Friday.
Okay.
He has my number, so he said he'll call me. I said, okay. So when he calls me, then I know that his phone's working.
Okay.
All right.
All right, then you have a good night.
You too.